Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the third week in a row now in this Lenten season, we've been watching Jesus do battle against the demons and against the prince of the demons, Beelzebub, as he's called in our gospel, the devil. We watched him do battle against the devil's temptations in the wilderness for 40 days, and he conquered him. We watched him cast out the demon that demonized the daughter of that Canaanite woman last week when she came to him seeking his help. He conquered the demon. If you were here on Wednesday, you heard again of how Jesus cast out that deaf and dumb spirit that was severely tormenting the Father's Son. He conquered the demon. No problem, at least as we view it. Today, again, in our gospel, he conquered the demon, the mute demon that kept that poor afflicted man mute as well. That was the easy part, if you want to call it that. Casting out demons, conquering demons, that was the easy part for Jesus because he simply, simply, applied his almighty, irresistible power, the same power by which his word called forth light when there was nothing, and there was light. Be gone, demon. And the demon, no matter what the demon wants to do, has to flee. It's the almighty, irresistible power of God. That's the easy part. The hard part, if you want to call it that, is dealing with unbelieving people. Because with the demons, God gives orders and they must simply obey. That's how he does it. With people, he has chosen to act differently, at least in this lifetime. He has chosen to act through his word, through his law, to convince men of their sin, through his promises, to convince them of his grace and mercy and love in the person of Jesus. He doesn't order people to believe the same way he orders the demons to flee. The demons must flee, and they have no choice. But people, God allows to stubbornly resist his gospel invitation. We see that stubbornness in our gospel. While the demons were forced to obey Jesus' commands, people were still free to behave like irrational, unbelieving swine. There was Jesus casting demons out of these poor, afflicted people in Israel, healing them, saving them from this terrible affliction of darkness. And the crowds marveled, rightly so, at Jesus' power over the demons, at his love and his help toward these fellow Israelites of theirs. But some had the opposite reaction. Some, like stubborn, unbelieving, irrational people, drew this irrational, ridiculous conclusion. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, why would anybody get that idea? Why would anyone think that Jesus was somehow an ally of the devil as he's casting out the devil's minions, the devil's allies, the demons? Only for one reason. Because they didn't know the God that Jesus proclaimed. They knew God differently. They knew God wrongly, and so they got everything backwards. God, whom Jesus proclaimed, they thought of as the devil, and the devil they imagined to be God. What does that mean? Jesus proclaimed a God whose law is perfect and righteous and good and demands holiness and obedience from man. Jesus proclaimed a God whose law cannot be lessened or made easier to keep. Jesus proclaimed a God whose law is absolute, and he proclaimed all people, including those Jews, to be sinners and lawbreakers. They didn't like that God. Jesus proclaimed himself to be sent by God, in fact, the one promised to be sent throughout the Old Testament to save sinners from their sins, not by the law, but by his blood, by his obedience, and by faith in him. They didn't like that. They didn't like that God. They didn't know that God. They didn't believe in that God or in Jesus as the one whom he sent. So when Jesus comes declaring himself to be casting out demons in God's name, the people said, well, that's impossible. And since supernatural power can only come from one of two places, either from God or from the devil, must be the devil. Some accused Jesus, not out loud, but in their hearts, of being in league with Beelzebub, with the devil. Others tested him by demanding a sign from heaven, as if casting out all these demons wasn't a sign from heaven. So Jesus, in our gospel, shows these people how foolish they are. He knew their thoughts. That was another sign from heaven, by the way, which they didn't take note of, because they weren't accusing him out loud of being in league with Beelzebub, but only in their hearts. But he, as God, knew their hearts. He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. Satan doesn't fight against his own demons. He doesn't cast out his allies, his friends. If Satan's house, his kingdom, were divided like that against itself, his kingdom would have fallen long before Jesus' time. For 4,000 years at Jesus' time, Satan's kingdom had been wreaking havoc on the world and was obviously still wreaking havoc on the Jews because he was possessing and demonizing any number of their poor people. The enemy of mankind is still around, prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, as Peter says. If Jesus casts out demons, then he proves himself not to be the ally of the devil, but the conqueror of the devil. Or Jesus gives another piece of evidence, a proof that their claim is foolish. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. There's a couple ways to understand Jesus' question, by whom do your sons cast them out? I take it this way. Jesus is challenging them. How successful have you people been at casting out demons? You claim to have God on your side, but how many demons have you been able to cast out in God's name? What's that? None? So if I'm casting out demons by Beelzebub, I'm still doing a whole lot more good for you people than your people do, who aren't able to cast out any demons. I'm helping more people than you do, and you claim to be with God. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that's proof that the kingdom of God has come upon you. The people wouldn't be so amazed at Jesus' power to cast out demons if all of their own people were already able to cast out all these demons. They were amazed because Jesus was doing something that no man had been able to do. by the power of God, by the finger of God. And to illustrate his point, Jesus gives the example of a strong man guarding his palace, guarding his house and all the things in his house, so that no one can touch him, no one can rob him, no one can take things out of his house. He's keeping it safe. Until a stronger man comes and defeats him and helps himself to whatever he finds in the strong man's house. The devil is the strong man, and he is strong, stronger than any of us. He guards the things in his kingdom. The demons cannot be cast out. Worse, men cannot be rescued from the devil's kingdom in which we're born. Not until someone stronger than the devil comes along. Jesus is that someone. How do you know? Because he was helping himself to the spoils in the devil's kingdom. He was helping himself to those poor souls who were demonized at his time, casting out the demons, freeing those poor Jews from their possessions, and Gentiles too, like the Canaanite woman's daughter. And if he is able to help himself to those things that the strong man possessed, he is also able to do the other thing, which is freeing men from Satan's kingdom by forgiving them their sins. Always these external miracles that Jesus did pointed to the even greater truth that he saves men from their sins. How? By shedding his blood for us and by calling us to faith in him, rescuing us from the devil's power. Because he's the stronger one. He conquers the devil. He conquered him by his blood. He conquered him by his resurrection. He conquers him still through holy baptism, ripping people out of the devil's kingdom. Now, there are only these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. For now, God allows the devil to have this kingdom. He is still the prince of this world, as Jesus calls him. But Jesus points out these two kingdoms and says, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." That's an urgent warning from Jesus to flee to him for refuge, because if you're not with him, you are with the devil. There's no in-between place where you kind of believe in Jesus but kind of don't. Or you recognize him as one Savior but maybe not the only one. Jesus has appeared as a conquering hero, the conqueror of the devil and his demons, the conqueror of sin and death. All who are condemned to death for their sins, all who have fallen short of the glory of God by sinning, are called by this gospel to flee to Christ in faith and be rescued from the devil, to receive forgiveness and reconciliation with God. But those who will not trust in Christ alone remain in the devil's kingdom. Those who will not confess Jesus Christ as Lord will spend eternity with Satan. In the last part of the gospel, Jesus continues this thought and explains what happens when a demon departs from someone, from a person's heart. The demon leaves. The demon goes out and wanders around for a while and then comes back and checks on that person's heart to see if it has a vacant sign on it. If he finds it vacant, if he finds it swept, clean, and empty, he'll return with his wicked demon friends and make things even worse for that person. In other words, there can be no vacancy in the human heart. Either it will be filled with demons, or it will be filled with Christ and his Holy Spirit. That serves as a warning for us too. Were you once baptized long ago, as an infant, or a long time ago at least in your life? Did you once receive the gospel and were rescued from the devil's kingdom? Praise be to God. But Scripture does not teach the Baptist doctrine of once saved, always saved, as Jesus makes clear in this gospel. A person can be rescued from the devil's control and then sweep Christ out of his heart again, inviting the devil to come back and reign as king. So what do we need to stay safely in Christ's kingdom? That's at the very end of today's gospel. That woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." See, this woman fell into that same wrong idea. Once saved, always saved. Once blessed, always blessed. As if Jesus' mother, Mary, had been blessed forever by giving birth to Jesus back when he was born. Jesus says, no, it doesn't work that way. He doesn't say, blessed are those who hear the word of God once and then forget it, or neglect it, or stop paying attention to it. He says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, who continually hear the word of God and continually guard it in their hearts, paying attention to it, believing it, holding it sacred. Where the word of God is heard and believed, there the demon has no power. There Christ reigns with all his blessings and all his gifts. Again, that's why we keep coming together. Why we don't baptize people and say, see you in the next life. Why we don't say, okay, you heard the gospel today, I hope you come back someday and hear it again. We keep coming together around Christ's word and sacraments weekly and as often as possible, because through these means of grace, Christ still drives out demons and keeps them out of your heart and life by filling us with himself, with his word, with his body, with his blood. He conquered the demons for us by dying for us and rising for us, and he keeps conquering them by his word so that you're safe and unable to be harmed by the devil. As Paul says to the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Saints of God, God is for us. Christ is with us. And where Christ is, the demons cannot remain. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.